Turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 100. This is a season of thanksgiving. Yes. Want to talk today about, and then we've talked about some of this before, but y'all need, and me too, to have an attitude of gratitude. How about that? That's the idea for today. Grateful for the littles and the olders and our teachers. Psalm 100, just looking at the first five verses, in many ways the Psalms are a Bible book of thanksgiving. It says this, "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God, and it's he who has made us. We are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. So enter into his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues throughout all the generations." Let's pray. Oh, Father, we just thank you for this day. Thank you for the privilege and an opportunity to be in your house with one another, gathered together to seek your face, to be the church. And Lord, we have so much to be grateful for, so much to be thankful for, and we would count our blessings today. We would have an attitude of gratitude despite everything that may be happening in our lives or our families or in our world. We just give you thanks for your great love. And so, Lord, as we always pray, we pray for spiritual eyes that see and spiritual ears that hear everything you want to say to our hearts this morning through the power of your Holy Spirit. And we pray all these things only and always in the name of Jesus, our Savior and Lord, saying, amen. Yeah. So we continue in our short sermon series here, kind of 3 weeks. I call it a season of thanksgiving. It's not just one day, but it should be a season. Actually, it should be every day of our lives, I think. We have so much to be grateful for. If for nothing else, you can't find something to be grateful for today, the election cycle is over. Praise God. You know, so it seemed right to say a few things this morning about the importance of just being thankful for God's goodness and all his blessings in our lives. And I think if we've learned anything, you know, sort of during the recent election cycle, it's this, that fear and gratitude rarely go together, right? They rarely go together. You know, we have so much to be grateful for, and yet so many of us, and it's understandable, we live in a fallen world, so many of us are suffering from an attitude of ingratitude, and then as Americans, we just have to really do it up fine style, it seems like. You know, most of the world doesn't do this, I don't think, but if that wasn't depressing enough, thankfully it's starting to go away, but you have the absurdity of Black Friday, right? Now, where I'm from, that's what it looks like. Deb loves to go shopping on Black Friday. I'm like, oh, no. No, no, no. I would rather have bamboo, Vietnam style, put underneath my fingernails than do that. But that's what it looks like where I'm from. And people would get trampled. People would get hurt and die. And you know what's weird about Black Friday is that it comes exactly one day after Thanksgiving, a day that you're supposed to be grateful for all of God's blessings in your lives. It is insane. It's absolutely American. You know, when people think we're nuts in this world, it's because we're kind of nuts, right? But as I was thinking about the upcoming holiday season, you know, we all sort of like, we enter the holidays and we're kind of like, oh boy, here we go, right? And yet part of this is focus, right? The whole Black Friday thing. I mean, where else in the face of the earth do you have a day of giving thanks to God for all his blessings, and then you go to the stores to trample fellow human beings and trying to save $35 on a flat screen TV and then having a fight for a free package of Mint Milano cookies. No one else in the world does this, by the way, people, right? That's just what we do. And so I had to ask myself this week, kind of coming into a busy season as a pastor, there's so much going on, good stuff. Am I entering into this season with an attitude of ingratitude? I got to ask this of myself right now, kind of like the time, Billy. Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, we all have experienced it. An elderly man from Phoenix called his son in New York and said, "I hate to ruin your day, but I have to tell you that your mother and I are divorcing. After all, 50 years of misery is enough." "Pop, what are you talking about?" the son cried. "Well," the old man said, "we just can't stand the sight of each other any longer. We just can't. We're sick of each other. I'm sick of talking to you about this, so call your sister in Chicago and tell her yourself." And then he hung up. Frantic, the son called his sister, who exploded on the phone. "They are not getting divorced," she shouted. "I'll take care of this." You got a family member like that? Uh-huh. Yeah. And so she called her father immediately, screaming at the old man, "You are not getting a divorce. Do not do a single thing till I get there. I'm calling my brother back. We'll both be there tomorrow. Until then, don't do a thing. Do you hear me?" And she ended the call. And the old man hung up the phone and turned to his wife while smiling, said, "Okay, so they're coming for Thanksgiving and they're paying for their own airfare. So, what do we got to tell them about Christmas?" Right? If you got kids, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Right? We have 2024 has been kind of rough, right? In so many ways, right? And it makes it of more importance for us as followers of Jesus to actually practice thankfulness, gratitude, and generosity. And this has to be done on a daily basis. It's got to be a daily for us, right? In all honesty, let's be honest, because we're in church. We're not just painting it on, right? During the election cycle, how often did this cross your lips or my lips? "Thank you, God. Thank you." How often has a real and genuine attitude of gratitude actually filled our hearts, especially during the trying times? Right? Strangely enough, an attitude of gratitude doesn't seem to come naturally, right, to human beings. Instead, we have this insatiable need to get more and more. It just feels greed and discontent in our lives, right? Leading to an unhealthy and an unholy attitude of ingratitude. You know, if your Christmas sucks, you're doing it wrong. Right? Let's just say it. Oh, you know, let's just be real. Maybe our focus needs to shift. Maybe we're doing it wrong, right? Instead, as we're moving towards Thanksgiving Day, I want to just remind myself, we've got a lot to be thankful for, amen? Yeah, we got a lot to be thankful for. One of the most powerful ways to be radically loving toward God, our neighbors, and even ourselves is practicing in our Christian lives an attitude of gratitude. Because I believe thankful Christians become generous Christians. Right? This can help us to be more radically loving and giving and forgiving as Christians to a lost and dying world. And as I think about the topic of thankfulness, right, gratitude in my own life, the first book I go to for those kinds of things is the Psalms, right? Right? The Psalter, as it's called traditionally, calls people to rejoice and give thanks to God for many, many different things. The Psalms, tons of them, call us to thankfulness, right? Our psalm for this morning, Psalm 100, says what? "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs." That's what we do every Sunday morning, right? That's why we have a great worship team, amen? We just love that. They help us bring us our thanksgiving and joy into the presence of God. It's an offering to him. And you know, during times of personal worship and prayers, right? I love church. It's never dull at Mosaic, I don't think. I sometimes wait for a dull, we're going to have a dull Sunday. We never have a dull Sunday. But you know, that's because everything has sort of built up to this in people's lives. It's the dailies. It's the day in and day out. It's the time you spend with Jesus each and every day, and I hope you do, right? Because if you're just coming to church and just kind of getting your USDA requirements of spirituality in 1 hour, you're going to be starving during the week, man, right? You need more. But the Psalms call us to thankfulness. I've realized I got so much to be grateful for. You know, in every year, if you've been around for a little while, I do this. It's almost a David Letterman. Remember these things? He'd have his top 10 lists. Remember those? I do those, and I amend them each year a little bit. But I encourage you to do this. This is something you can do for yourself or do it with your family. Write down, it's really helpful to write down, 10 specific things you are thankful to God for in your life. It's really practical. Again, you can do it on your own or with your family. And each year I come up with a list, why I am grateful. And so here it is. Number one, I'm thankful for a beautiful Christian wife who has supported me for over 30 years in the ministry. If you've been around a while, you may remember a few years ago, I put her as number 10 because you saved the best for last, because that's what I was thinking as a dude. That didn't go well. That was really bad. I've repented. She's number one. Thankful for two fine sons. Sometimes they drive me nuts, but they've flown the coop a while back. One is in Denver, and one is now becoming a digital nomad. That's a thing. I was like, what? What is that? It means when you work kind of on the fly. So he's going to spend the next year in South America bopping around, but he can still do his work because you can evidently do it like... Okay. I'm learning. Thankful for them. I'm thankful for a Christian mother and grandmother who led me to faith in Christ. My mother made me go to Sunday school. We don't want to force religion on the children. You make them go to school, right? Not everybody does around here, I noticed. It doesn't go well for the kids later on. Thankful for my mom and my grandmother. Thankful for my mom. She still supports our call to minister here in faraway Montana, 2,000 miles away. I'm so grateful for that. So grateful for my first home that I've owned. I guess the bank still owns it, but I pretend it's mine for now. And I have my first hobby farm and all my gardens. Some of you have been out to my place, and I love doing that. That's sort of therapy for me. I am so grateful and thankful for my increasing size of my gun collection. Because in Chicago, when I lived and ministered there, a 9 will get you 9. Yeah. I used to, you know, the drug dealers used to throw their 9s in my church gardens, and the cops would always come. It's like I knew them by name. Hello, Officer Rory. Oh, you want to go to the church gardens? Oh, there's a 9 somewhere in there. And they'd go and pick it out. Have a great day. Print them, book them, stuff them, and cuff them. I don't have to do that anymore. I praise God for that. I'm thankful for God. He allows me to live in such a beautiful place. I hope you don't take this place for granted. The mountains never get old. I used to look at brick walls and barbed wire. You know, this is awesome. How can you not praise God for this? I'm thankful for fantastic ministry leaders who make ministry not only a calling, but a joy. This place is filled with cool people, and people are coming up with new stuff all the time. People think I know everything that's going on. It's like, I don't know anything half the time. It's like, what are you up to? Oh, okay, it's cool, you know? I'm thankful for God for opening up additional ministry and missions opportunities here in our community and abroad. We just had Sam here from Uganda. We had Joel here from Indonesia. All kinds of stuff. We get to host internationals in our homes in Thanksgiving. I mean, it's an easy buy-in. You know, these young 18, 19-year-old kids, they just want a little love. They don't know what Thanksgiving is. Oh, that's turkey. Okay. Yeah, have some. It's so easy. Talk with Janie. This is missions, people. I'm thankful for the privilege of pastoring and being part of a unique and wonderful Christian family, Mosaic Church. I love this church. It's filled with gracious and compassionate Christians. Best church I've been in my entire life. Thank you. Thank you. You know, I could go on. These are just my 10. Why don't you give it a try this week? Psalm 100 verse 3 says, "Know that the Lord is God. It's He who made us. We are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture." You were never designed to do life on your own. Amen. I mean, really. Yeah. I mean, God has you in mind. He knows you. You know, Jesus has been a good shepherd to His sheep. This has been a challenging season. He's provided us all with food, clothing, and shelter. Thank you. You know, we've said before. Come into church with whatever you want. Just don't wear your birthday suit, right? I said that in the previous place. Some people got so offended. So it's a joke, man. Lighten up. Life's short. He's given us the gift of new life in his name. Psalm 100, verse 4. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. How can you not give him thanks and praise his name? I mean, I've talked with people, especially going through hard stuff. How do you do life without God? How do you do it without Jesus? Oh, no thank you. Please pass, right? What I've found, and I'm still learning, is this, is having an attitude of gratitude and specifically naming the reasons why I'm thankful to God. This has helped me to realize that, you know, a lot of the problems in my life that arise during difficult days, they're not quite as vexing or frustrating as they feel or as they seem to be. They're not quite as huge as I previously thought. I find this, that the more time I spend thanking God, the more my problems start to evaporate, the happier I become. Because our Christian faith and having an attitude of gratitude are tightly linked, are they not? Yeah, they really are. You don't have to look far into God's word to find that the Bible is filled to the brim with examples of people who are thankful to God for all his blessings, both tangible and intangible. Because I'm a nerd, looked in the Bible, there are 200 occurrences of thanksgiving and being thankful in the Bible. God's people offer heartfelt thanks of gratitude. The Psalms are a treasure trove of thanksgiving. When was the last time you read through and prayed through the Psalms? That would be an idea, right? The Psalms are the book of thanksgiving, a primer for developing an attitude of gratitude. Here's a few. Psalm 30, I will give thanks to you forever. Psalm 97, we give thanks at the remembrance of your name. Psalm 136, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy and loving kindness endure forever. I remember discovering this some time ago, and it was sort of one of those revolutionary, like, spiritual insights for me. If you read Paul's letters in the New Testament, right, he's always thanking God for something. Right? Whether providing for his needs or for praying for those who had turned to Jesus under his ministry. You know, he has 13 letters in the New Testament. What I noticed was this, is that he gives thanks to God some 50 times. And I realized 25% of all the verses about thanksgiving and gratitude in the Bible come from this man's lips. Hello. Oh, my. So, one of Paul's abilities to persevere and in difficult ministry and missionary work is that he's always finding something to be grateful for, to be thankful to God for. That is a model for you and I. Paul had an attitude of gratitude. 25% of all the verses come from it. I think that's worth thinking about and praying about. I'm also I've discovered that thanksgiving is a lively virtue. Gratefulness is a habit. It's really a habit that we should be cultivating in our life. Thankfulness leads to happiness, right? Now, many Christians, maybe some of the more demure, would say, well, the Christian life is not about happiness. It's true. That's not the primary goal, but you can't deny that happiness is a natural, wonderful byproduct of a life of having that loves God, enjoys God, and has an attitude of gratitude is the idea. Now, it's in our founding documents, right? Our founding fathers here in the United States said the pursuit of happiness is an inalienable right. So why is it then? Why isn't it, does it strike you as strange that the richest, most powerful nation in the history of humanity is filled with so many unhappy people? Man, I know Janie just came back from East Africa. Whenever I've gone, it's like these people don't have, well, they've got dirt and lots of it, but that's about all they got, and they're just smiling. They're always, many of them are happy. It's like, why are you happy? Because they're clear, unlike us, you know? Our country is filled with a lot of unhappy people, right? It's interesting to me that in the history of humanity, a single people have never had greater abundance and never less wellness. Really? Yeah, why is this? Isn't happiness so hard to experience because so many people have forgotten to have an attitude of gratitude. This is not just Dr. Phil or Oprah stuff or whatever. This is real spiritual stuff, right? The fact of the matter is that truly happy people are truly thankful people. They're profoundly thankful for all the blessings God has showered upon them. Get out of the comparison thing. Well, they got it. That's a trip down unhappiness, right? What's God done in your life? How can you be grateful to him? Right, we've said this over recent months quite often, right? When we take our focus off of Jesus and we focus on the stormy circumstances of life, that's when we get into trouble. That's one of the reasons why we're here in church, right? To remember all this good stuff together, right? And some are in different places and different levels of maturity, and some are struggling and some are just joyful. That's called family, people. Family. When we start to sink beneath the waters of life into despondency, depression, and despair, then it's really easy to get an attitude of ingratitude, isn't it? Really simple then, right? Well, I don't know. Kind of like the time, Billy. You know? Yeah. When a man, have you all inherited anything from loved ones? Well, there was a time when a man inherited a talking parrot from a relative who had just passed away. Well, this was the gift that keeps on giving, and it went in the Jelly of the Month Club, right? This man was noted for his attitude of ingratitude, and that just passes on to people around him, and even the bird itself, you know, talking parrots. 5 minutes after this guy brought the bird home, this man was assaulted with a machine gun-like sequence of swear words, rude insults, and some of the dirtiest jokes he had ever heard in his life. But being a Christian man, however, he sought to reform the parrot's attitude of ingratitude by reading to it aloud from wholesome children's books, inspiring portions of God's word, as well as playing for it uplifting praise music. Well, it was to no avail. The bird remained unrepentant, deeply mired in a godless attitude of ingratitude, continued to upbraid this poor man with crass and rude name-calling. Finally, the man, who normally possessed the patience of Job, finally snapped, and because of the behavior of this pugnacious parrot, he seized the bird by the throat, opened the freezer door, threw the malevolent malefactor in, and slammed the door shut. Oh, the little ungrateful beast began to kick at the door, squawking at the top of its lungs to no avail. After several minutes, though, the freezer grew eerily silent. And then the man finally opened the door to see what had become of that foul little bird. Imagine to the man's shock when the parrot flew out of the freezer, landing calmly on his kitchen counter. Now the parrot was repentant and remorseful for his belligerent behavior, and he addressed his new owner, saying thus, "Sir, I apologize for my awful behavior. I repent for the sin of having such an attitude of ingratitude, and from now on I shall promise and endeavor to amend my ways. From here on out I shall display an attitude of gratitude." Oh, that our children would come and say that to us. But I digress. The man was totally and completely stupefied, but before he could inquire as to the reason for the complete change, the parrot responded thus, "While I was in that horrific place, I had the sad opportunity to meet some of the others you previously flung into that frozen freezer, and I have only one remaining question for you." "What is it?" said the shocked saint, to which the placid parrot asked, "What did the turkey ever do to you?" Anyway, and I didn't say that. That's how rumors get started. In all seriousness, how would you currently discuss or characterize the state of your heart? Is your life or has your life been stained by an attitude of ingratitude? Now, I've shared this several years ago. I shared it a couple times. Some of you have heard this, but it's worth repeating, right, this story. I think it illustrates what I'm trying to say this morning. Now, shortly after, you remember the events of 9/11, reflecting on the recent death of his wife, yes, comedian George Carlin. How can, well, he was so foul-mouthed. Well, I have a foul heart some days, right? This man had some wisdom and some prescience. He said, this was like years ago when he said this. I want to share it with you. It's a spiritually penetrating assessment of our society. And I think it highlights the futile search for happiness apart from a life that's bathed in thanks and gratitude. And this is what he wrote so many years ago. He said, the paradox of our time in history is that we have taller buildings but shorter tempers. Wider freeways but narrower viewpoints. Hello. We spend more but have less. We buy more but we enjoy less. We have bigger houses and small families, more conveniences but less time. We have more degrees but less sense. More knowledge, but less judgment. More experts, yet more problems. More medicine, and yet less wellness. We drink too much. We smoke too much. We spend too recklessly. Laugh too little. Drive too fast. Get too angry. Stay up too late. Get too tired. Read too little. Watch too much TV. And pray too seldom. We have multiplied our possessions, but reduced our values. We talk too much, love too seldom, and hate too often. We've learned how to make a living, but not a life. We've added years to our life, but not life to our years. We've been to the moon and back, no matter what the flat earthers say. Been to the moon and back, but we have trouble crossing the street or the road to meet a new neighbor. Hello. We've conquered outer space, but not inner space. We've done larger things, but not necessarily better things. We've cleaned up the air, and that's important. We've cleaned up the water. Remember when, I'm a Midwesterner, remember when Cleveland, when Lake Erie caught on fire in the 70s? Maybe we should be better stewards in Jesus' name. Maybe. We've cleaned up the air, but we've polluted our souls. We've conquered the atom, but not our prejudice. We write more, but learn less. We plan more, but accomplish less. We learn to rush, but not wait. Oh, learn to wait. We build more computers to hold more and more information, to produce more and more copies than ever, and we communicate less and less. With the age of digital computers and stuff, we always thought, well, that'll save many acres of the Amazon rainforest because we won't have to make copies no more, right? Guess what all of us do? Oh, that's cool. Print. Nah, it didn't work. These are the times of fast foods and slow digestion. Big men and small characters, steep profits and shallow relationships. These are the days of two incomes but more divorce. Fancier houses but broken homes. These are the days of quick trips, disposable diapers, throwaway morality, one-night stands, overweight bodies, and pills that do everything from cheer to quiet, to kill. It's a time when there's much in the showroom, but there's not much in the stock room. A time when technology can bring an email to you, and a time when you can choose to read it or delete it. So, says Carlin, remember to spend some time with your loved ones because they're not going to be around forever. Remember to say a kind word to someone who looks up at you in awe because that little person will soon leave your side. Remember to give a warm hug to the one next to you because it's the only treasure that you can give with your heart and it don't cost you a cent. Remember to say I love you to your spouse, to your loved ones. Most of all, mean it. A kiss and embrace will mend hurt when it comes from deep within inside you. Remember to hold hands. Cherish the moment because someday that person won't be there anymore. Give time to love, give time to speak, give time to share your precious thoughts with them. After all, Carlin said, life is not measured by the number of breaths that you and I take, but by the moments that take our breath away. Amen? After all, life is not measured by those things. Do you see how any of this has to do with living a life of thanks and gratitude? Bet your life on it. Psalm 100 verse 5 says, for the Lord is good, his love endures forever, his faithfulness continues throughout what? All generations. So, when you don't know how to pray, give thanks. When you don't know what the next step in your life is, give thanks. When you have run out of answers, oh blessed day when we do, give thanks. And I believe that God will take away your breath with the overwhelming enormity of his gifts, goodness, and grace in your life. You'll find the needed courage and the precious hope to live a life that passionately loves and will enjoy him forever. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for this season of thanksgiving and helping us to have an attitude of gratitude, to count our many blessings, as the old hymn writer said, to name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. So Lord, we're just thankful at this time. And Lord, we just pray that you would give us an attitude of gratitude, that we would repent from attitudes of ingratitude, and that we might totally enjoy your blessings in our lives, and that we might share them with others who need them so desperately. And we give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name, saying, amen.